This is Jason Block with CLW83.com, and we love to interrupt, also with Game Show Newsnet. And I am with one of the cast members of one of the most popular game shows on television, whose Season 7 will premiere, I believe, a week from today as we record this, September 21st. The man who handles a meat tenderizer better than anyone I know, Jonathan Mangum from Let's Make a Deal. How are you?
Hey, Jason, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, the funny thing is that I've been a fan and watching the show since the beginning, but I did not catch that you were hitting in Smash for Cash with a meat tenderizer.
Yes.
You know, for years. That's hilarious.
Well, there were other type of tenderizers. They wanted me to use a ceramic tenderizer or I should honor the animals that I'm faux slaughtering with an actual meat tenderizer. And so we had about 15 or 20 meetings on it and brought in the top of the board. And Les Moonves came in from CBS and we negotiated finally to the metal meat tenderizer.
There you go. That works. Do you ever just sit back and understand why the show continues to grow year to year? Because you guys have had like tremendous success, you know, from season five to season six and six to seven.
You know, one thing I like is whenever I watch any entertainment, my number one priority is that the people are having fun. And I think that even if it's something you don't like, I'm not particularly fond of, say, country music. But if I'm watching a country music act and the people are having fun up there, then I'm loving it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that Wayne and I and Tiffany and Kat too, we're all just having fun. So, you know, even if for some reason you're not a fan of the show, you just see us enjoying ourselves and you're enjoying yourselves too. That's one thing I really think makes a big difference.
Do you look at the show, strangely enough, as an improv show with game show elements or a game show with improv elements?
Interesting. I look at it more as an improv show with game show elements. In reality, I think it's a game show with improv elements. But just from my background, because the games are this, you know, the same general games over and over again, and we play them all the time, they just kind of go invisible to me. And what's new and interesting to me is the conversations or the jokes or the Wayne's messing with me or I'm messing with him. So that feels like more of the show to me from my point of view.
Well, because that you talked about Wayne messing with you, or there are points in the show that I'm probably guessing that we don't even see, that you guys are just going, okay, let's see who can crack someone else first.
Oh yeah, definitely.
There's so much stuff there that is just absolutely nuts. Where you'll say one thing that's just totally out of the ordinary, and Wayne's done. For like 10 minutes, or vice versa, you know, it's great stuff. Now, I know you, Wayne, and Kat go way, way back in the improv game. How did that come about?
Wayne and I started originally together when we were teenagers at a theater called Sack Theater in Orlando, Florida. A show called Theater Sports, which is an improv show. We both learned together at the same time back in the early 90s, and then eventually that improv group, The Core, moved out to LA in the mid-90s, and we performed out here together. And then around 2000, he got Whose Line and started touring, and then he brought me along with him for that tour. So I've been performing with him for over 20 years, but it's been me and him since 2000, just doing a two-person improv show with Kat coming on a little bit not too far after that.
And well, you guys did something really cool when Craig Ferguson left the Late Late Show.
Yeah.
You guys did a week of the Late Late Show, which was hilariously funny.
Oh, thanks, man.
What was that like?
It was it's interesting because it was so much fun to do, and in a way, it felt super hip to me. I mean, you know, daytime is awesome, but you know, it's late night has this kind of hip vibe to it, and it has a status with it. But at the same time, it's like that show gets far less viewers than our show does. But for some reason, because kids stay up late, it's got a hipper vibe to it. You know what, does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
So it felt oh, look how, you know, hip, and we're doing comedy, with no game show involved. But at the same time, it's like what we're doing is seen by far less people than the comedy we do during the day. So it was an unusual circumstance, but a lot of fun, of course.
Yeah, and you had a little bit more freedom to sort of incorporate some of the, you know, the Let's Make a Deal elements per se, you know,
yes.
You know, and then like I believe there was like one backstage sketch where you had Wayne as a female contestant or something like that.
Yeah.
So one thing I also want to tell you about is it seems like the four of you, Wayne, Kat, and Tiffany mesh so well together. That it's like just a well-oiled machine. I mean, just tell us about the relationship you guys have, like on stage and all that sort of stuff.
Well, yeah, the number one goal is for us to crack each other up or get each other. The producers were really smart in that when they signed up Wayne for the host and then me as the announcer. They knew that the show that we had been doing and touring with is an adult show. It's not clean. It's full of F-bombs and other bombs with other letters that are not F. So it's an adult show.
Yeah.
And so rather than them saying, okay, you're on daytime, here's the 8,000 words you can't say or suggest, they said, say whatever the hell you want to say. Make it feel like an adult show. Don't even worry about it. We'll cut it out. But you'll feel like you're doing, you won't feel like your hands are tied behind your back. So there's, like you said, a lot of stuff that goes on that wouldn't even make it on primetime TV because
But there is some stuff that gets through. I notice it because I'm that type of guy.
I love to try to sneak stuff in. You know, like I'll sneak in a little pun or do a little something in the background and just like maybe they won't notice. You know. So,
there are certain jokes that you will set up. Maybe that'll be topical or, shall we say, adult. I'm going to keep it sort of PG here.
Sure.
That I notice and my father noticed because we watch every day.
Sure.
That I'm just like, wow, did you get away with that on daytime? And I'm like, yeah, you did. And it's really fun because there's so much amazing stuff. Now, the stuff that I also love is the stuff that you make up off the, you know, just the improv stuff.
Sure,
You know, like either a rap battle or a song battle or, you know, the Let's Make a Deal jukebox. You really do not know what music styles you're going to get beforehand.
No, we don't. The difficulty with that game compared to like Whose Line, which I've done, is when you're on Whose Lines anyway, they say, okay, you're going to sing a song about a pirate with a robot arm.
Right.
So
okay.
It's like, and the good thing is, oh, okay. I've never sang a song about a pirate with a robot arm before. This should be fun. The trick on Let's Make a Deal is, okay, I have to sing about a washer and dryer. Okay, have I done a rhyme about the hot air blowing? So you have to think back, because you're often cluing the same prizes. And it's like, how am I going to make this different? I mean, what did I do before? I can't remember what I did before. So it's actually trickier to sing improv about prizes because you have probably done improv with those prizes before after 7 seasons.
And you're right. It's kind of actually, it's harder.
If you look at it
that way. Now, do you have specific favorite segments? Because you have Jonathan Bighead, which is awesome. That's a fun one.
Thanks, man.
You know, that's a good one. Of course, the dealing game is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Wayne is just nuts funny.
Wayne is so funny that his character becomes more and more drunk every time he does. I'm Dr. Wayne, but. He'll just start talking nonsense, and that's such a funny character when he does that.
And of course, you know, Tiffany is starting to hang with you guys too, which is great too, because she can do improv stuff too, and
she's great. She has this essence about her that's, you know, she's a beautiful woman, but she also has this kind of like sensibility of a 60s or 50s woman. And we're the two misbehaving children, and she's like the, you know, the wise older sister that puts us in our place. It's a great dynamic.
So what are some of the – do you have, like, a favorite game yourself that you like to see or play?
I love a lot of the games. There's one called Mind Reader that's fun, where they'll just pick three people out of the audience and I'll have to read their minds. That's an improv game, so that's really fun. We have a game called Accelerator. There's no improv in it, but I like it. It's a big giant ball goes down this giant roulette wheel.
Which debuted last year.
Yeah, so that's fun to watch. Some games are really fun to watch. Smashing the Pigs is always fun to take out my energy on that. There's been games that we've tried in the past that didn't come back just because they probably weren't the best game for a game show, but were like fun and weird. We used to do this thing. I mean, this must be 3 or 4 seasons back, where Wayne and I were two characters in a hair salon, and we would bring someone in and pretend to do their hair and clue.
You were doing like a barbershop.
Yeah.
And of course it went towards the, you know, effeminate in a lot of respect.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
There's really not any game that's not fun, which is kind of the nature of the show. You know, it's just a fun show.
Yeah. Before I get to one of my favorite things that you did, do you have any like favorite zonks? Because your art department is nuts with how they build amazing zonks with, you know, like a butterfly with like a stick of butter and flies.
I love anything that drives. Like there's a living room, the zonk living room, where the couch actually has a remote control and drives across the floor. That's cool. There's one, what is it? The Ram truck, which is a car, but it has a giant ram skull on the front of it, and it's like 15. It looks like the most satanic thing I've ever seen.
It looks like something from Diablo 3.
Or a Crocus concert. It's unbelievably bizarre. And I'm like, wow, this is so weird. I can't believe this is television in the daytime. But that's it.
So what is, just for those who haven't been there yet, and by the way, they should go to a taping, because you guys are still, you know, you're in the full mode of season 7, because that started about 3 months ago.
Yes, we are taping from now until mid-October.
Oh, wow, so you're almost done already.
Almost, yeah. We have 5 weeks of taping left.
Wow, so you do 195 shows in 5 months.
We do 175, I believe, and it's in 4.5 months. We used to do it in 7 months. We used to do 2 a day, and this season we've moved to 3 a day.
So just give us a basic what a day of the show would be like for either for you or for the contestants and all that sort of stuff.
It's very different. I get to show up about 11 o'clock. We tape our first show at noon. We're done by about 1. And our next show starts about 30 minutes later, and that repeats itself 3 times. The contestants go through come there a little earlier. We like to interview them each and just get a feeling of how personable they are. And the people that are the most personable and the people that are having the most fun is who we're going to end up picking to be on TV. So if you had a bad night and you're hungover and you're sleepy, hold off on coming until you're awake and excited, because it'll really help you get picked.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And it's like I said, the energy level is just insane.
Yeah, you know, a lot of shows, they'll have, like a sitcom taping, they'll have a warm-up guy come out in between all the setups and talk to the audience and tell jokes. But our show is so crazy that all Kat does is starts playing music, and everyone literally stands up during the breaks and dances full on out like it's a club. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
So speaking of Cat Gray, another piece of the puzzle, he's musically insane. It's like, you'll say, let's play Broadway. And boom, he'll play Broadway.
Yes.
How talented is this guy?
I mean, he's amazing. I mean, he's had a huge career. He's toured with Prince and with Stevie Wonder. He does a very unusual thing as another job called forensic music, and I didn't know what that was either, but basically if you're playing a game like Just Dance, you know, the game where they play the songs and you dance to them, they have to re-record all that music. They can't use the original song. So Cat will go in, find the song that they're using, and not just re-record it, but go out and find all the mics that it was originally recorded on, find the drum heads that were used, try to, in the same size room that they recorded the cymbal scratching, and he'll forensically reconstruct this music.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, before we get into the new project you're working on, so what can we expect next week when season 7 premieres?
Which will it's even more. more craziness, you know, it's like when you have a hit show, the pressure's always on to, you know, what's next? So we have some cool new games. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about.
That's what we call in the biz a tease.
A tease. Yes.
So you got new games.
New prizes. It'll be a lot of fun. If you're a fan of the show, you will continue to be a fan of the show.
and of course, hopefully, we'll be seeing more, family episodes and Super Deal Week and things like that.
And there's a cool new thing that is not Super Deal Week, but it's new and cool and of that essence. So that's the end of my tease.
That's a tease. Now, one of the reasons why I also wanted to talk to you about this new comedy, online comedy show.
Yes.
That you, I believe, either created or co-wrote called Open Carry. That's C-A-R-R-I-E.
Correct.
So tell us about that.
I've been a writer for many years as well, and a good friend of mine, Aaron Schuer, is one of the executive producers from Everyone Loves Raymond and The Office as well. And we wanted to just do some cutting-edge humor, you know. We wanted to do something that would get people talking about an issue, but also make it funny. And so one of the top issues right now in our country is guns, the rights to bear them, and there's a group of people that... following the law will open carry their weapons at different places. You might have seen this in the news where they'll go to a Starbucks and they'll have their weapons displayed to teach people about the Second Amendment. So we thought that since Aaron's writing comes from ensemble comedy with The Office and my comedy from improv, we thought we'd get together and write a show about that. That would be super funny, but also bring up the issue for people to talk about. And so open carry was it. We put my buddy Wayne graciously came on board to play a really funny character in the show, and it's about a group of people that do just that open carry their weapons to help bring attention to the Second Amendment.
Now, a lot of people in Hollywood might say, this is just going to be another anti-gun show. Do you want to say that you're going to present this, that you're going to present the anti-gun people in a sort of a different light than, say, where do you think that this would fall under the spectrum?
Well, this is what we think. One thing I've really enjoyed is, comedy-wise, the way the South Park people have done it, where they basically say no target is off limits. So right. Aaron, the guy I created with, definitely comes from a liberal point of view with guns. You know, I'm from the South, so I had hunter friends and relatives, and I'm used to seeing shotguns in the back of trucks. So I'm more on the libertarian side of guns. So we will basically, instead of saying we'll make every side look good, we'll make every side look bad. In the second episode, we have some stuff with the NSA and the federal government and the overreach of that. So there is no target off limits. The good thing about this group of people in the show Open Carry is they're not bad people. They're good people trying to do what they think is right. So at the heart of the show is people that sometimes are misguided, but they're not bad people. So we're not saying people that open carry weapons are bad people.
Okay. So, but before we just get into sort of another subject here, where can people go to either find and or support the project?
Yeah, the best way is to go to opencarryshow.com.
Okay.
So open C-A-R-R-I-E show.com. And even if you spell it wrong, it'll still go to the right place. So that'll take you to YouTube. where you can see our trailer. And if you want to see the full 11-minute episode, you can. There's a link on there to the Vimeo site where you can rent for $1, for 99 cents, the first episode, which we'll use the proceeds to make more, hopefully, is the plan.
And so you've only made one, but you have more ideas in the can.
Yeah, we actually made one and a half. So if we get some more funding, we can finish the second one. And it's been really fun to do.
Now, you were talking about, I just want to go talk about comedy for a second before we wrap up.
Sure.
You were talking about the fact that nothing is off limits, that everything is a target.
Yes.
Have you noticed sometimes that a lot of people get, quote, and I'm going to use the air quotes, offended by certain subjects, and that comedy is being sanitized to a point? Or where do you see the quote unquote outrage police with comedy now?
There's good and bad. I think what's great right now, it's super stringent as far as the comedy police. I mean, for example, Caitlyn Jenner, what she did was great and brave, and I support her in doing that. But at the same time, right after she did that, you couldn't make fun of her for anything. You know what I mean? She became invincible to comedy. Like, I couldn't have made fun of Bruce's running after that. You know?
Right.
It's like, it should be, you can't make fun of a transgender person in a negative way. But no, suddenly she is completely invincible. And that's not right. You can't just not be able to make fun of somebody for some other reason. And so the good news is, because we're so stringent now, I think that our kids that are growing up now in this super PC correct land are going to change things around when they get older, with the assumption in that, hey, I'll tell the world they can make fun of me if I can make fun of them. And then everyone will be cool to just be able to make fun of each other and have a good time without every possible word triggering off a group of people that, you know, has a heart attack because you said something that you didn't even know was inappropriate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you ever, when you're ever thinking about what you're, do you ever self-censor yourself when you're on Let's Make a Deal because of that sort of thoughts of where you're going? Or do you just say it and say, okay, edit this out? Or will Mike Richards say, okay, we can't say that? That's
there is kind of a built-in editor in there, certain terms that were fine when I was a kid. You could say midget when I was a kid, and you can't say midget anymore. And so I usually won't go saying that word. But at the same time, you know, little person is the proper word to refer to a little person. But in the future, little person might become inflammatory. You know what I mean? It's the evolution of language. So there is a social norm, unspoken social rules, I think, that don't just apply to comedy, but apply to other things as well, that you kind of have to be aware of. But has the pendulum gone too far to one direction? I believe so, yes.
Mm. Last question. Tell me how awesome Mike Richards is. I mean, seriously, because, you know, for some people, shall we say, in the internet outrage community, he gets a lot of, shall we say, negative slack.
Right.
But he's resurrected not one, but two franchises, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, and what you don't see about Mike, that the reason I see him as being amazing, is this guy is a, he is a machine. I mean, he's up at 6 a.m. He's got three kids. He's up at 6 a.m. He'll work out for an hour. He'll come to work for 12 or 13 hours. In his breaks, he'll come up with new game show ideas to pitch to different companies. I mean, he's a nonstop machine of creation and producing. I get exhausted just thinking about it. He's also a really good host, too. I mean, he was the host of Pyramid for a while on GSN, and he was the host of Beauty and the Geek for a while. So he's great.
Yeah, and last, how often have you worked with the host of The Price is Right, Drew Carey?
A lot, quite a bit. I was a semi-regular on the Drew Carey show on the last two seasons when Craig Ferguson left. Myself and another actor became Drew's new boss at the internet company he worked for. So I got to work with him a bunch then, and then he brought me out on the road with him, and we did Improvaganza, which is an improv show, and we've toured quite a bit together. He's a good friend, very generous guy.
All right, so Jonathan, I know you're busy and you're going to continue to tape, but of course, let's just talk about it. September 21st,
yes.
Season 7 of Let's Make a Deal on CBS. Of course, check your local listings because it's on at different times in different time zones. Why don't you give the ticket plug? Because you do it all the time. So
that's right. If you want tickets, call 888-533-2550, and we'd love to have anybody come down.
And, of course, CBS.com.
CBS.com. And you'd think that because, you know, that we're giving away cars and trips and prizes, you'd think that there's a huge waiting list to get on. But there actually is plenty of room. I mean, quite often we'll have one audience stay for another show. So there is lots of room for people to come down. You're not going to have to...
And also, speaking of the audience, one of the most amazing things is the different types of people that
yes.
you get. You get military people, you get teachers, you get nurses, you get college students, and it's the most demographically balanced shows.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
That's on. And of course, you know, you're on tour with Wayne. And mm-hmm. do you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah, you can check my website at jonathanmangum.com or find me on Twitter at Mangum1, M-A-N-G-U-M, the number one. And I'm always updating where I'll be and what's going on.
Listen, thank you very, very much for your time. And we'll see you in the new shows next Monday. That's Jonathan Mangum. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Pleasure talking to you, Jason.
Thank you.